What is going on, everybody? This is Raw Star of the Burbank Misfits, and you're listening to The Misfit Effect. And as always, I am joined with my wonderful co-host, CW.
Why is it so hot outside but cold inside? Anyway, hey.
That is the most random question you asked me, and I was thinking the same thing because of where I'm at, but that's a different story for a different day, sir. Yes. Anyway, we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest for you today. We have Miss D Siren. She went from being a teacher to being, a performer. She is, of course, a wonderful sex performer. She's also a sex therapist, correct? And she has a lot of talent. She's been nominated for many, many awards, from Best Newcomer to Best Clip Star to, being Hottest MILF by the fan votes. So, Miss Siren, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, we'd love to have you. We love many people we have not met yet, because I haven't met you yet. I've met a lot of people in the industry. So I love just meeting new people who I haven't had the pleasure of coming in contact with. So for the people out there who don't know who are you?
Who am I? I'm D Siren. I have been in the industry for about 11 years. I started in 2009. And I started out as a webcam model, and I was a teacher. I left teaching. I taught little kids, and got kind of, I love teaching, but I got sick of the system because it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm married. My husband and I have been swingers forever, we were. Yeah, we just kind of took our weekends fun and made it our life. And, it kind of started out that way. I would meet him on lunchtime and we would record, just our fun together, and kind of started that way. And from there, I did webcam strictly for about 6 months. And then I was told, back then at least, I was too hardcore for webcam. Because that was before webcam kind of like blew up. I was on iFriends, which is no longer around, but that was before my free cams came along and kind of blew up webcam for the world. And I was kind of a hardcore chick. So I went and made my first video with Nadia Alicia out in Florida. She's retired now. But that was called Huge Holes 15. So yeah, it was a big toy video. And I went hard, like big toys and hardcore, before I went smaller, I went bigger. go big or go home, I suppose. And, so I did that, and then I built my own website, and then I decided to give LA a try, and I've filmed from everyone from Reality Kings and Naughty America to Evil Angel and everyone in between. So pretty much I've most of my content on my own website, which is asiren.com. I've filmed over to now maybe 400 movies.
Wow.
And so most of my content is something I own. I've only filmed for other people as a marketing reason. As content is king, and I've always known that. So yeah. Now the industry has changed that way, where everyone's realized that, and it's best to have your own content and film your own things. But I've kind of done it that way forever. So it's one of those things where I love my career, and it's one of, I always looked at it that way. It's not something you go into this industry, all willy-nilly and expect to get rich overnight or anything like that. It's one of those if you choose to do it, you have to put your thought into it. Yeah. And make a good choice of doing it and expect to do it forever, because you kind of take on the persona of being who you are, and sure, it's something that stays with you. So, but I wouldn't take it. I love it. And yeah, so that's who I am.
You know what? I was listening to what you just said, and I'm reading the bio that I have about you. We have similar things from our time around this crazy, crazy industry. Because I started doing stuff in this industry around, I'm going to say 2008. And like, I was reading that you were in a car accident and you broke your neck. I've broken my neck and I had to not do something for a while in this industry. Like, my neck is all messed up too. So I'm like, wow, that's, and we started around the same time. So it's just, I just find that interesting.
Yeah, I was in a car accident in 2015. I was actually nominated for an AVN in 2015. And I was nominated in December. I actually got my car accident in September. So I shot the scene in 2014. I was nominated in 2015. And it was like in between that, I got into a car accident and old lady hit me and broke my neck. Oh, I'm sorry, the lawn guys are here. I'm going to move in the other room. It just came by my door. It ruptured my discs in my neck. So I have had two neck cervical fusions, and I have permanent nerve damage on the left side of my body and into my head. So they fixed the neck, but it's taken 5 years to do that. And I still have severe headaches, and that'll be forever. So now they just burn the nerves in my head, and that takes care of the pain for the most part. And as I take like nerve medication, but yeah. So luckily, I honestly thought that I wouldn't come back into the industry because of the injury. I was pretty disabled for a good 5 years. Luckily, you know, there's things like OnlyFans, and that was something I, you know, my friends really were the ones that kind of put that together and started that website. So I started on OnlyFans before it ever blew up, a long, long time ago. And, you know, it really helped me because my fans are so great and they supported me throughout my whole injury. And I was posting things on OnlyFans from my hospital room and, you know, being on morphine and with a neck brace on, flashing my boobs. You know, fans don't care. Like, they're all about, you know, helping, you know, it's all about, you know, knowing them and them knowing you and you just being an authentic person. And I've always been real. My videos are all real. And so, you know, it was just like keeping up with everyone and continuing to be who I was and, you know, just not giving up. And yeah, I finally, last October, I got off some really bad medication because it had made me gain a lot of weight. And I kind of got my life back and was like, wow, I can actually go back and do this again. So luckily I was able to come back and yeah, better than ever. And, you know, pain's pain and that's just life. And you just kind of live through it and have a better, you know, positive outlook on life. It's all about your mindset. So yeah, I'm just excited to be back and doing what I love to do. And, you know, just kind of adjust and do what you can do. And I can't be as crazy as I used to be. I've done some really wild things and, you know, from a 40 person blow bang to gang bangs of like, you know, a million people, not a million really, but you know, like a tons of people, I've done crazy things, but I have to tame myself down, you know. My vagina is probably mad at me, but you know, she can just chill. she's the one that's like always, you know, pissed off if I don't take care of her. But you know, the rest of me is like, oh well, fuck off.
So yeah, I'm fused from my C1 to my T2.
Oh, wow. So you have like severe. Yeah, mine's not that bad.
Well, I had a tumor on my, like I had a car accident, we broke my neck. Mm-hmm. Then a tumor grew in my spine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when they went in, they fixed whatever. I kind of lost use of my right side, I'll say that.
Yeah.
So I had to relearn how to use the entire right side of the body, which sucks, but you know.
Right. Well, and you know, the thing is that it's very much you just have to mind over matter, I suppose. And like with me, I'm capable of moving, and it's a lot of your brain taking over. I have no feeling in my left foot, and I've broken it several times in the last couple of years because of, I just don't feel it. And now I've broken it really bad about a year ago, and or a little over a year ago, and now it's just completely screwed back together. So it's very robotic. So I've learned how to rewalk again, and now it's just me having to tell it to move, you know, with my brain basically mm-hmm. telling it to move, and you know, learning to walk, and it's just interesting for me, you know, to do that. And it's just where it's definitely a task. It's a very
sounds like a constant adjustment.
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's also, I don't know. I'm a very intelligent person. I have a degree in psychology and a degree in sociology, and where you have to sit back and like really think about, okay, you know, how's this working, and put, you know, thought into what you're doing, and not let it get overwhelm you and give up, you know, because it's very much a like, okay, I can do this. It's not, you know, okay, my whole life's over and I'm just going to stop, because then, you know, depression and things like that take over. So, you know, I'm one of those people that has to kind of like put so much on my plate when it comes to work, so that, you know, those things don't take over, because then the depression and the anxiety takes over if I don't load myself up with more and more to do. So.
Oh yeah, creep in, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm all about meditation. I'm all about positive energy and you know, just having a great mindset, because it definitely helps a lot, especially if you're going through, you know, such a difficult physical recovery and a change. You know, you can go from being perfectly healthy to something, you know, terrible happening to you, and you just have no control over it.
That's true.
Pretty completely. And we laugh because that's what he got his degree in also.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's, wow.
And you're both of you not doing nothing in that Pacific career.
I use it every day, man.
You do, right? Like, I mean, I do well in my life and with other people because of it. So, you know, those things, once you understand the human mind, and it's so much easier to deal with other people and yourself. And mm-hmm. I never stop learning. I'm just a constant learner. I think I'm in the middle of reading like 5 books at one time. So I wake up daily and have a very, very much a routine of getting up in the morning and meditating and reading. So I never stop learning. It's when I quit learning and I focus on things like social media and stupid stuff like that, you know, I get overwhelmed. So I try to stay off of that shit unless it's for work and just, you know, posting things to earn money. But otherwise, I don't get wrapped up in stupid crap like politics or anything that is out of my control. So, you know, so much better to focus only on what I can control, which is really just my own mind, you know, not all factors around you.
I've not read a book since probably 2013. And I'll be honest. And the thing is, I just got a book in the mail. I want to say Sunday. And it's like, I'm not used to learning anymore. Because I'm going back to school and getting my doctorates. And like, I got my first doctoral book Sunday. And it's like, I'm going to have to read this. And I've forgotten how to learn. So it's going to be an interesting experience over the next few weeks.
Yeah, you know, I took some time, like not, I was kind of the same. You know, there's a period of time where I kind of quit reading. And definitely while I was on gabapentin, which is a nerve medication, and it's so bad. And it was so hard for me to focus on it because it kind of makes you feel like you're drunk. It made it so difficult to focus on things. And I was just watching like crime dramas and things like that. But I've seen like every freaking Law and Order and every freaking like, you know, Criminal Minds you can watch. And there's like 13 years of it. So, you know, you would think that like eventually you get bored, but I mean, it's like, okay, now what do I do? But now that I like my brain is in a better place, that it's like, okay, now all I want to do is learn. And I've just realized that from reading the books I'm reading that, you know, your brain is just, if you continue to learn, if you continue to feed it, then it just keeps growing, you know, just like any other muscle, any other part of your body, it just keeps growing. And if you quit, then it kind of quits too. So mm-hmm. just so important to just to keep, you know, feeding it. It's like, you know, a plant. It's just like anything else, any other organism. You just have to keep feeding it. Otherwise it just kind of stales out and then you just kind of get complacent in your life.
It's very true.
So yeah, I do definitely enjoy, you know, learning, and I enjoy sharing my knowledge with other people, and I've always been a teacher, and that's just innate to my personality, is to teach. And so, you know, I've just taken that, the teaching part of me and the sexual part of me, which is also very innate into my personality, and combined it. So, you know, now I just teach adults rather than children. So, you know, that's pretty much what I do. And But while I was injured, I got my certification as a sex educator. And so now I am actually a life coach. I'm an intimacy and relationship coach, and I do have a website for that. So I help others with their relationships and, you know, with intimacy in general, either through, well, most of them are talk sessions, through email, through Skype, and basically helping them to, you know, spice up their love life, or maybe, you know, how to talk to a partner, or, you know, how to share things. And a lot of times it's just how to deal with their own issues, because a lot of times it just has to do with loving yourself. And society really has put so much shame into sexuality and just feeling like you're comfortable in your own skin, that it just rubs off on everyone else in your life. And understanding that sex is just such a basic instinct. And, you know, there's a reason that movie was named that. And that, you know, we just have such a basic, we have so much fear surrounding it and so much shame surrounding it, that it's just put a ridiculous amount of stress on us. And it's like everything's so taboo, which is just ridiculous, because, once you just accept your sexuality authentically and see that it's nothing really in it is wrong, then it just makes you so much more of a happy individual. And you can just, you know, express yourself to the world as if you're, you know, truth. It's just truth.
Well, I think everybody makes everything taboo or more taboo than it necessarily needs to be, because like at the end of the day, no matter who you are, the majority of people, we are sexual people in general, you know, no matter what you say about this or that, you know, the majority of people are not asexual, so.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing, is like, even if you're not being sexual, you can still be intimate. And I think that's also confusion, is that what is intimacy? Because so many people relate the word intimacy with sex, and it doesn't have to be. You don't have to have sex to be intimate. You know, it doesn't even have to be physical. It can just literally be a conversation like you and I are having, or, you know, because it's an experience, or it can be a friendship, or, you know, and, you know, and that can be love. And, you know, even the word love is just too narrow. Everything's just so narrow that we just connect it with, okay, you can only love one person. Well, that's just stupid too. You know, why do we have to narrow that down to one person? Like, we love our families and we love our friends and we love our children, but then it's like, okay, but you can only love one partner. Well, why is that the case? You know, that doesn't make any sense either. So, I mean, as human beings, it's not natural for us to be monogamous. It's not in a natural state. If you look at us as mammals, we're not penguins. And it's just one of those things where we've just put, society has just put a ridiculous limitation on who we are as people. And it just really rolls over into so much of our daily lives towards each other. And we've just accepted that violence is just so much normal around us, but sex is just so bad, which is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand why, you know, sex is a bad thing, but violence is totally fine. So it's one of those things where it's, you know, I have a podcast and, you know, I really try to put out there that sex is such a natural thing and it shouldn't be something that we're afraid of, and that people just shouldn't be ashamed, and especially women, ashamed of themselves and scared of their own bodies and afraid to, you know, even touch themselves. Like, I mean, personally,
I think a lot of the times when people like shame sex, it's a lot of the times because of how people view like body figures, whatever. Like how everybody try to shame somebody for looking a certain way when they're not clothed. That's how you get the entire insecurities and stuff like that. So I think that has a big part to do with it also.
Oh, with like your body, like body positivity, like your...
Yeah, because like if someone's looks this certain way, whatever, if it's too big for the norm of what they want, for what society says is a beautiful, the perfect person, you know, if you're not that, it's like, okay, we don't want to see it, you know?
Right.
But that's just that your opinion and not the entire world's opinion, you know? And because of that, so many people are ashamed of the way they look when they're not clothed, if right. that makes sense.
Oh, totally. And that's, you know, and that's something I've always stressed. I'm a very natural person. I have stretch marks. I have a tummy. I've had 3 children. I'm not ashamed of my tummy. I'm not ashamed of my body. I have cellulite. I'm totally fine with every part of me. I love me to death. And you know, I do live cam shows weekly. That's what my message is throughout my cam show, even to the men that watch me or women that watch me, is just myself. I don't care how big your penis is. I don't care what kind of body shape you have. Just love yourself. Like it doesn't matter. You should just be comfortable in your own skin, because until you are, you know, you're not going to feel good about you. And it's all about yourself. And because you're going to express that to other people if you don't feel good about you. And it comes out as anger and rage and so much negativity within your own mind if you just don't feel comfortable in your own skin. And my own studio, I'm the CEO of Siren Triple X Studios. We're located in Houston, Texas. My husband and I own the studio. And we've always been about real women, you know, real sex, all about fantasy and, you know, whatever. We film women. I film with my fans. I have, like I said, I've done blow bangs, and the guys can be big, they can be small. I really don't care. You know, now I am a size queen. I can't, I'll be unapologetic about that fact. But the fact is that, you know, personally, that's my preference, but that doesn't mean like I dislike you as a person, nor should you feel bad about yourself as a person. And that doesn't mean all women feel like, oh, well, you're not big enough, too bad for you, you know, because that's definitely not the case. I have tons of friends that, you know, are like, whoa, you're crazy. Like, I mean, there's no way I want that, you know? So, I mean, and the women that we film with are ranged from every size under the sun, you know? And most of the girls I film with, I have a big butt, they have big butts, they have, you know, beautiful, you know, luscious bodies and, mm-hmm. and, you know, every part of them is amazing. And we're all about that. We're all about feeling just great in yourself. And it's honestly all about the confidence. It's all about feeling confident in your skin. And when you have that confidence, you just glow, you know, it's just so different than someone just, you could be, you know, 110 pounds and feel bad about yourself and never, you know, and cover up all the time, you know, and never be the kind of person that is happy. And you can weigh 300 pounds and feel great about yourself. And it's just that person that weighs so much more, such, you know, such a happier person. And it really just doesn't matter. None of that matters. It's really all about your mindset. And like I said, it's just the positive energy and the positive attitude towards life that will change everything. So I'm all about that. I'm all about, you know, sharing, you know, my experience. And I haven't always been that way. You know, I grew up with a negative attitude towards everything. I grew up being, you know, with a mom who every, you know, pretty much every day would say you could lose 5 pounds because I am very curvy and she wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. and she also had an eating disorder. So she didn't intend to hurt my feelings or, you know, teach me bad behavior, but it rubs off. And so when you grow up hearing those things on a constant basis, then, you know, you grow up thinking something's wrong with you. And as you know, as I got older, I wasn't comfortable with myself, you know, and it really took me doing a 180 and realizing, okay, this is just totally messed up. I don't want to, you know, I don't want this same kind of attitude to be portrayed onto my own children, nor do I want this attitude within myself for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So it is something that honestly, this industry has taught me to love me. And it really took me taking my clothes off and seeing myself on a camera and saying, dang, I look pretty fucking good. And other people going, yeah, you do. for me to go, oh, hey, you know what? I like me, you know, there's no reason, why do I not like me? So it was one of those things where the industry, this industry is, people give it a bad rap, but honestly, it's the most open and loving industry out there. And we're so open to other types of people, and especially these days, that everybody is welcome and everybody is able to find a place for themselves and all different kinks to, you know, different bodies to different everything, that you just, anyone can fit. It just depends on, you know, what your niche is and who you are. And I just think people need to open their minds and realize that.
That's true.
Like, absolutely right. And why do you think it's hard for some people? Because of the fact that if they just don't get it from home, they get it from everywhere. And like, you know, then it just says that a whole bunch of insecurities about, you know, how they feel about themselves and then how they feel about others because of what society has taught them.
Yeah, I mean, are you asking like about?
No, I was agreeing with you. I was agreeing with what you were saying.
Yeah.
And I was saying like, yeah, the backing of it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that, well, and especially, like I said, women in general, I think there's so much pressure on us to fit a mold. And a lot of times that mold is just not even attainable. I mean, it's absolutely unattainable. Mm-hmm. Like no one's going to fit, you know, who's going to be 5'10" and above and weigh 118 pounds. Like those are runway models, and they're literally killing themselves to stay into that mold. And it's very unhealthy. It's not even attractive. And it's fitting what, like, who's making the clothes? Like, where do they even come from? What, you know, what is it even, you know, luckily these things are changing. Luckily we're seeing, you know, plus size models and even just normal people. And that's what's great about social media is that, you know, normal people can say, okay, now I'm an influencer, or I'm representing these brands that are out there that actually represent real people, because it's no longer I'm a runway model and all I can do is represent a brand that is, you know, made by a man who is not representing women, honestly. I don't even know what they're representing on, because the clothes are so strange that who would wear them, you know, I mean, in so now at least there's real people that are wearing real clothes and you're like, oh, okay, now that actually something that I can relate to. So, you know, yeah, I think it's changing and I think that's great. So, but when it comes to sex, I think it's just when it comes to females, they just feel so uncomfortable with themselves that they just don't open up to the idea. I'm a major squirter, and that's something that, you know, women are afraid of. It's not so much that they can't do it. Now, of course, not all women can do it. It's not something everybody can do, but it is something that a lot of people can do. They just go, oh crap, I'm gonna pee. Well, no, that's not pee. Go do some research, you know, actually learn something about your own body, rather than just being closed-minded and saying, oh crap, I'm just peeing myself, so I'm gonna stop an orgasm and run to the restroom and tell you I'm uncomfortable and make this all, you know, bullshit happen. And now sex sucks. And now here, I just wanna go to bed now. You know, now I've just ruined the whole situation instead of literally having just a good time, because mm-hmm. they're just too worried about what is happening with their own bodies that they've just messed up the whole situation. And you know, part of it is just also not exploring yourself. Like, I've learned so much from masturbation and doing it on webcam and playing with toys. But those are things that, you know, a lot of women just don't even own toys because That's they've true. Never been experienced with them. They've never bought them. They're like, oh my God, what is that? You know, I don't know how to do this. And they don't know what to do. So it's just a lot of exposure. It's basically saying, here's the freaking toy, like, go play with yourself. And men play with themselves from birth. You know, you have an attached toy that's always there. But we don't, you know, we actually have to buy them. So yeah, I mean, but it's not something that is that you always feel comfortable doing. And it's something that needs to be talked about. So a lot of it has to do with just sexual education and real sexual education, not bullshit that a school, you know, tells you that is literally not education. It's just, you know, here's talking about some hormones and, you know, a period and a condom. You know, that's basically all they teach you in school, which is all they should teach you in school, because it's really not something that you should learn in school. It should be something a parent teaches you because they've learned about sexual education. But really, what we should be doing is porn stars, because porn stars are the ones that are actually teaching people, because people look at us, is that we should be teaching adults how to teach their children, because the adults haven't learned either. And there's a large group of, you know, adults my age and younger that have had no sexual education, so they have no idea how to teach their children either. And until they learn, you know, now they're just being exposed to porn and they don't really know how to talk about it. So it's all about talking. It's all about communication and opening their mouths and saying, okay, here, this is what's going on. And let me talk to you about this, and not being afraid to talk about it. Because until you talk about shit, then nothing happens other than you're watching something and you don't know what's happening. And instead you're going, oh my God, this happened. I've seen this. Have you seen this? But you don't really know what's happening. You just see it. So I don't know. I think it's a big conversation that just needs to happen. And instead of just watching, we need to talk.
Right.
Very true. Yeah. Because they don't understand the context. Like, when you see porn, no one tells you, like, the context or what's going on. And I mean, I wasn't really young when I was exposed to porn, but like now, I mean, it's so easy to get your hands on it and see it and being like, what am I watching? And there's nobody to really actually explain it to. Your parents are like, don't watch that. I'll talk to you about it. And I don't know, maybe never.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I've been asked, like, at what age? Well, honestly, what age are you going to give them a phone? What age is their friends going to have a phone? What, 10?
I do think it's like when it comes to, you know, getting your hands on porn now compared to back when we were younger, it's a lot easier now. So, nowadays, I see like 7 or 8 year olds walking around here with their own active cell phone. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't get a cell phone until I was in high school. So
young, like they're young. And you know that the moment, I mean, you can put every parental block on anything you want, but the fact is that if you've put the parental block on, I can promise you there is a child that has a phone that's a friend of theirs that didn't. So your child is going to be exposed and it's not something you can stop. So wouldn't you rather speak to them before that exposure happens rather than them being exposed to something and then going, I don't know what this is, or I don't know how to feel about this, or... I mean, and then, you know, I'm in my 40s. I, you know, back in my day, the first porn I was exposed to was a lesbian video on VHS, you know, I mean, and this was like, and the very first thing was Playboy magazines in the bathroom, you know, so at my cousin's house. So, you know, my porn was way different. You know, it's not at the tips of my fingers now, like it is now, you know, and shoot, Instagram, like... Even though I get banned on Instagram for posting anything, but I mean, shoot, influencers that are not in the industry can post whatever the hell they want to post. And Twitter, they're straight up porn on Twitter no matter what. So you don't even have to go be on a porn site to see porn. So you know your children are being exposed to it. So I don't see why there's not a conversation regarding it. And parents need to stop being afraid of sex. They need to start talking about it and saying, this is the facts and you're going to see it. So why don't we talk about it instead of, oh my God, just don't look at it. Well, that's stupid. That's like saying, don't look at violence. Like, okay. Like, you know, they're going to look at it. Don't look at these video games. Well, you know, they're going to do it. So instead of saying, don't do it, then instead say, this is what you're going to see. So I need to explain what's happening and why you shouldn't. Because honestly, as someone in the adult industry who has children, my children are not going to go search porn. For one thing, their mom's in it and their dad. And they, you know, we're going to make sure that they don't go find us. Like we don't want, they don't want to find their mom and dad. You know, so they're like, oh crap, we don't want to go find our mom and dad, you know.
So, they're like, no, I'm good. I don't want to have to find anything. Exactly.
And that's how so many porn stars are that have kids. They're like, we're going to tell our kids straight up, you know, you're going to find us, right? So they're like, oh shit, we're not going to look, you know, they don't want to see us. And so they're even more careful than probably most children. And on top of that, we have open discussions. It's not, you know, from an early age, we have open discussions about sex. Sex is not something that is scary in our house. Sex is not something that's taboo in our house. It's not like we're like having sex in front of our children, nor are we even like blatantly doing anything or even discussing it, but it's also not something that's taboo. It's like, okay, if you have a question or, you know, if we're gonna be like, you know, what's on your phone, or hey, you know, you may run into this website, or don't go to this website, you know, don't go to Pornhub, don't go to this, don't go to that, you know, we're going to talk to them about it. And we're going to say, you don't want to be looking at this or that, you know, you'll find this or that, you know, it's never something that we're afraid to talk about. And if they ever have questions, they know they can come to mom, and mom's not going to be flipping out on them. you know, and in the second that, like, I don't know, for instance, the second that my oldest got a car, I was like, put condoms in your car. You know, you're not going to be having sex at home. You're not going to have sex in my house. So where are you going to have sex? Well, the first time I had sex was in a car. So, you know, go get here. Here's some condoms. You know, you're not going to be asking mom for them. You know, here you go. Here you go. I'll just give them to you. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, just be responsible and take care of your kids and not expect them not to do things just because you tell them not to. They're likely going to do them more if you tell them not to do it.
I think some of the time that they try to hold kids back from their kids back from watching it is mainly because they don't want them to, one, grow up too fast, and two, you know, like, you know, develop a sexual identity before they want them to.
Right.
So,
which is understandable. Can't control
a person. I understand it, but it's like at the same time you don't want them, but your kids can get into all kinds of things without you, like, especially if you're not communicating with them. So Just totally being like, no, don't do this. They're going to be like, okay, but why? I need to find out why.
Right.
Let me just look.
And it's not so much, you know, we teach our children about stranger danger. Like I said, I taught little kids. I taught, you know, elementary school. We teach them about stranger danger. We teach them about sexual education, but we don't really teach. And I'm not talking about go into detail. I'm not saying go teach your kid about anal sex. I'm not saying any of that. Like, that's a little extreme. Don't be extreme. I'm saying expose them to the point of, hey, this is what sex is. Don't say, okay, here's a condom, but not understand what's a condom even for. Like, understand, like, this is what sex is. This is what sexuality is. This is what intimacy is. This is what love is. Don't put the fact that love is just between a man and a woman and you're going to be married, you know, this rom-com, you know, crap that's not realistic on your children, because it's not realistic. You know, be real with your kids, be real about sex, be real about what's going to happen. You know, because if you're not, then you're going to end up with a kid that's probably pregnant, you know, at 16, because they don't understand what's going to happen. Or you're going to end up with a kid who may be victimized because they think, you know what, if I just keep my head down and I don't go to this party, and then they end up going to the party, then somebody's going to, you know, do shit to them in the parking lot. You know, I mean, and I say things because, you know, from personal experience, shit happens. And, you know, you end up in bad situations because you're just not exposed to something, or no one even tells you that something bad may happen to you because you've been so sheltered. I was an extremely sheltered person. You know, my family was not, they didn't expose me to anything. They never talked to me about sex. I heard about sex because my brother got the quote talk, you know, and my parents, I sat down, you know, when I was 14, I heard them talking to him about it, but they never talked to me, not a word, not one word about it to me at all. They'll still deny and say they did, but then I'll say, no, you talked to my brother, and they'll say, oh yeah, that's true. You know, so they think that was enough, you know, but then as a girl, I'm exposed to things that happen because I was just too naive, you know, to know, oh shit, this may happen to me. Mm-hmm. And I was just told, don't do these things. So what did I do? I did them. I did the opposite. I went to clubs by myself. I put myself in shitty situations. I hung out with guys by myself. I did everything I was not supposed to do because I was a rebel. And I was in a very conservative family, and I was the black sheep, and I did the opposite of what they told me to do. So I was the kid who did everything I wasn't supposed to do in the conservative family, and got myself in trouble, you know. And it wasn't, you know, I never did anything where I was pregnant or any of that, because I knew how to take care of myself to a point, but I was also fucking lucky, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it's I didn't want that for my own children. I wanted all of them to be able to just come to me and tell me if there was an issue, you know, and this applies to just not sex, but anything, drugs, any of it, you know, talk to me, tell me if you want to talk about it, talk to me about it. It's okay. You know, I'm not going to judge you, and I'm not going to tell you that you're crap, and I'm not going to tell you, oh my God, what's wrong with you, to ask me a question about marijuana or any other kind of drug. Or, you know, I'm here to talk to you like you're a person, you know, treat people like they're people and not like they're, you know, I don't know, children are not treated like they're people. So, you know, just treat them like they're actual people and educate them correctly. And like I said, sex is just something that literally people haven't been educated on. We teach everyone about everything but sex. Instead, it's just like, oh, well, that just happens. But the problem is we expose people to becoming victims of sexual violence by not teaching them. Because if you teach somebody that things can happen, then you are no longer a victim. And you teach them to avoid bad situations. And a lot of people in our industry have been victims of violence. So, and it's just a fact, you know, a lot of us are survivors. And that's why we're in this industry, is because we're survivors.
I agree. And I know a lot of people who are in the industry, they always say, like, there's a lot of reverend kids or like pastor kids that are in there because they were so sheltered, right, growing up, because they weren't like allowed to, you know, really get that expression early on. It made them, you know, want it more.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and over, you know, you just become overly sexualized, I suppose, overly sexualized because you're so sheltered. To the point of, you know, just saying, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you know, because I'm just so extremely sheltered in my life that it's like an escape. And, you know, eventually you get to the point in your life where you realize, okay, well, that's what I was doing. And that's why I am the way I am. But, and you don't really want to pass on a lot of those traits to, you know, future generations or whatever the case may be. So you teach them differently. But it is something that I think a lot of us in our society have done just in general. And I think it's a good thing now to open up the conversation and teach them correctly. But I think a big part of it is, like everyone says, you know, that children learn about sex from porn and even people just in general. And that's true. It is true. They're being exposed to it. They watch it. But the problem is, we're not teaching them. We're just exposing them to visual entertainment. And we literally are just entertainers. We're just performance artists. And so it's just, here, let's expose you to performance art. But some of us in this industry, like myself, are teachers. And if we're going to expose you to this, the teachers in our industry should be teaching about what's happening and be able to express that to the audience and the people out there to say, okay, now it's time for you to learn to be able to teach the people, the children around you, you know, the younger generation, that this is, you know, what's happening, and be able, yeah, to actually just open up. It's more about just teaching you how to talk. Just let's teach you how to talk to people about it and talk to each other. And honestly, communicate with each other just in the bedroom is the first step. And that's what I do with my coaching, is literally just talk to your effing partner. Like, you know, if you can't talk to your partner about sex and you just let it happen, then what are you doing? You know, how boring can you be? Sorry. But, you know, if you're literally like, okay, I'm just going to lay here while you, you know, fuck me, then, that, you know, come on, like, it might be a little more boring about life. You know, and what do you think, you know, do you really think that your relationship's going to last if you just don't even communicate with each other? You know, probably not.
Me personally, I've run into quite a few, like, you know, while we're in the mix, like, so what do you like? I don't know. I'm like, I'm asking because I want to do what you like, but if you don't know what you like, then are you even liking this right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I just think, I do think that men are much, you know, they're much better expressing themselves, much better when it comes to sex. They feel much more comfortable. But see, my example of my brother being talked to is a big part of it, is because mm-hmm. they had those conversations. They have had the talk. They have been exposed to communication about sex. Women, on the other hand, have not. Most of the time, no one talks to them about it. From a young age, no one talked to them about it. It was all about a period and tampon and something stupid about your boobs and pregnancy. And don't do it. Don't do it because you're going to get
pregnant.
You're going to get pregnant, so don't do it. And you're a hoe and you're a slut. And let's say everything negative about sex. So with that being the case, you put up like this shield of, oh my God, this is just wrong. You know what? What I'm doing right now is just wrong. And I'm just going to let it happen because this is what I'm supposed to do to show this person I like them. And then also on top of that, women connect emotion with sex. So they feel like, you know what, I have to love you to have sex with you. So I have to put this emotion with it that, oh, I have to really like you, or we're going to build this relationship around it. And so I don't know how to express myself except for I'm falling in love with you, or this is going to be this big relationship. And it's not just a physical act of pleasure. And if it is a physical act of pleasure, then I'm a hoe, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it becomes this like circle of negativity in a female's brain of what am I doing wrong? Or if I enjoy this too much, then there's something wrong with me, or I just don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know if I like this. I really don't know if I like this or not. Do I like it? I don't know. Cause I don't even know how I feel about myself. You know, I'm not, and honestly, it's just it's like a conundrum in a female's brain of, I don't know if I like this or not. So they honestly don't know how to answer that question because that all stems back to, I have never played with myself to be able to tell you if I even enjoy this, because I don't even know how to have an orgasm. I don't know what feels good. I've never played with a toy. I've never even given myself an orgasm. You know, I've never actually, you know, used something enough to figure out where the G-spot is in my own damn body, where men play with themselves, like I said, from birth. You know, I mean, you guys, it's just innate to you to play with yourself, and you know exactly what feels good. So women just struggle. They struggle with that answer. And I think it's just something that it's like, okay, let's finally learn that it's okay to be sexual creatures instead of it just letting it happen. And it's one of those things that's going to be really difficult to come across to women, but someday maybe that's what I'm here for.
I think like when it comes to us, it's like, you know, we're expected to do it. And when it comes to females, it's like wrong. Like you're not allowed to feel joy.
Yeah, I talk as an ego boost, initial ego boost. Like, yeah, when you get it, you do this, but be this, and like, yeah, I can't wait for this to happen for you.
And right. when it comes to women, it's like, we don't want you ever to do it. You can't, you know, even orgasm until you're married. You're not allowed to, you know, feel joy sexually or
yeah, intimately. Don't you enjoy it, young lady?
Right. Well, exactly. Like, I mean, and even with the porn, like women are not supposed to like porn. You know, they aren't supposed to watch porn. They even say, you know, is there porn out there that women like? Is there porn, female-centric porn for women? You know, why does it have to be porn for women? to be completely honest, I like gay porn. You know, I like penises. So I like to watch penises. I don't care what hole it goes into. I mean, it's just like, okay, cool. Those are more penises. You know, I mean, to me, it's just like, I just like attractive men with penises, you know, and I've been exposed to so much different kinds of porn. I like women too. So, I mean, I like all kinds of porn. There's no female centered porn. You know, I also like erotic novels. So, you know, I read erotic novels and honestly, I'll masturbate to reading an erotic novel. So my imagination can be as crazy as a porn scene, you know? So I'm also an extremely physical person and less of a voyeur. So I really prefer just to like literally play with my toys and not watch anything. And it's more about my just getting off. And I get off to just watching myself on webcam. So, you know, watching me. But yeah, I mean, I just think that it's all about exploration. It's all about accepting yourself. It's all about finally just letting go of that stigma of just being afraid of who you are and just what is everyone else going to think of me, you know? And that's just such a huge thing on all of us all the time. And it's like, we've taken such a natural thing that, you know, if we were to rewind and go back to the days of, you know, early human civilization that wasn't there, you know, it was just, okay, people had sex and that was about reproduction and nobody gave a shit, you know, you just did it. And just like anyone in the animal kingdom, you know, any creature, you know, it wasn't like, oh gosh, you know, there's this, but you know, society has put that upon us because of disease and population control and so many other things in history. And also just control, period. You know, I mean, we know that society just controls us and that's just their whole purpose is just to control. So, and it's just something that I think if all of us would just stop and realize that it's just another way of controlling us, then we would probably let go of a lot more of it and realize that it's not such a bad thing. You know, if we just let go of it, go, okay, you know, it's not such a bad thing to actually like ourselves and it's not such a bad thing to stop trashing each other. And it's not such a bad thing for me to think you're attractive. And it's not such a bad thing for me to have sex with you. and as long as we're safe and we don't, you know, pass disease to each other. And in the porn industry, you know, we get a bad rap, but we are the safest people of anybody. I mean, we get tested every two weeks. You know, who else does that? No one. You know, we spend so much money on testing. We're constantly testing and we stick with each other. You know, we stick with each other. We don't have sex with other people because we don't want to mess up our group of people that we work with.
We're not supposed to have sex with people. Some, you know, some violate that, but yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, some do. But I mean, most of the time it's with partners that they're with. And, you know, even if you have sex outside of, you know, there are a lot of, I'm all about sex workers. I'm all about do your thing. You know, I have tons of friends who escort. I'm straight up about that and real. And that's totally fine. But even they, you know, make sure none of my friends that escort do anything without condoms. And they always, if they do, then they always make sure everyone's tested. And they're very careful because this is our moneymaker. Like, you're not going to fuck with your body. Like, why would you screw that up? It's like being an athlete and fucking with your body. You're not going to do anything to fuck it up, you know? And I've been in the swinger world for a long time. And to be honest, swingers are much more careless. You know, they could care less pretty much, you know, they'll just do whatever with whoever. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, us taking care of our bodies, that's, like I said, that's our living. And we're not going to, if we mess it up, then we're going to have to not make money for a while. So we don't want to screw with our bodies.
I agree completely. And so that's why I know, like, a lot of people, you know, don't mess around. And y'all get the COVID test, like, well, now I'm going, like, with what we're dealing with, like, at least the day before. So they're really safe with that too. So
yeah, 48 hours is max, I think they do. Now COVID, I have differences of opinion on that too. The exposure to COVID could be walking outside and going to the grocery store, and it's so hard with COVID. Like, we do get tested, 48 hours is the max. But you know, and if you're going to go work and if you're going to be in a content party, I went to one in Vegas, this last month, and everybody was tested. And we all, you know, pretty much quarantine with each other. We stay at the same house afterwards and stick with each other the rest of the time and not go anywhere else. But it is one of those things where you just have to be careful and hope that nobody else does anything else to have yourself exposed to it. But I don't know. This situation now is just so hard to deal with, because it's like saying you're going to not get a cold, you know, and you can only do so much to not be exposed to it. The thing is, a lot of us, to be honest, I think we've all kind of been exposed to it. A lot of us think we've been exposed way back at AVN. We all got kind of sick, really sick, before it was even identified, back in January.
Yeah.
At AVN, lots of the people I work with were real sick, just like they had COVID back at AVN. And we just didn't know what it was. We thought it was just the flu, like everybody gets the AVN flu. But I don't think it was. I think it was COVID, you know, now that we know what the symptoms are. But, you know, after that, though, like I said, all of us were tested to make sure that we're all good before we all decide to film together. And then otherwise, we're pretty careful. And personally, I just pretty much film with a small group of people, or my husband or myself. Or
I know we had Jillian Jansen on here a few weeks ago, and she was she was saying the exact same thing, that she believes that she had caught it then.
At AVN.
Like, she thought she thinks she had already, you know, had it.
I was with her there too. I think so many of us got it there. And I didn't really get real sick, but like, I was there with Virgo, Peridot, and Queen Rogue, and all my group of friends, and they got so sick. And within days after, like day after each other, she was in her room, terribly sick, couldn't breathe, had to run her shower like the whole time because she just couldn't breathe at all. And she just thought it was the flu, but literally it knocked her on her butt and she couldn't do anything the rest of AVN from day one. Oh, so, wow. Yeah.
She didn't know detail how bad it was, but she was saying that she felt really bad like during that. So I do agree that I believe that either we've been exposed to it, or we have, you know, butted heads in a sense with someone who had it and didn't know they had it.
Right. Well, and I felt bad after AVN, but it just wasn't to that extreme. Like, I just thought, okay, well, I think I got sick in Vegas because, you know, you go to a convention and you're around so many germs and so many people, you just feel like, okay, maybe, and you're just exhausted from partying for a week, that you just feel like, okay, maybe I'm just worn out and I just feel sick. And I also, like, I even put out videos on how to like take care of yourself at a convention, but I just overdose on like emergency and airborne before I go, because it's full of zinc and vitamins and all kinds of different things. And, you know, I was just kind of like ridiculously overdosing on those things. And by the time I, you know, got home, I didn't feel great, but I was down for about 3 or 4 days, but I thought, okay, well, again, I'm just exhausted from all this whole thing. And I never had the extreme symptoms, but now that I think about it, I'm like, well, maybe I was just kind of asymptomatic, you know, and just kind of had symptoms, but not really, you know. But everybody, like I said, so many people, I had good friends, you know, that were on the red carpet that literally were just there to take pictures because they spent so much money on their dresses, and then they took off because they were so sick. So, and there were a lot of people sick compared to past AVNs that I've been to.
Because I know everybody was so used to, that's one reason I don't go to AVN, because I know everybody gets sick, and because I'm not paid to be there. So it's like, I'm not a performer, I'm not, and I never get paid for any of them to, you know, take pictures. So I don't go there for them, I just do it for everybody else. But it's like I expect everybody to get sick. It's like it's like an expectation. So I believe a lot of them just thought it was just that also, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's why I do those videos. Like I post advice videos on my YouTube, and that was a big one is, you know, before you go, how to kind of avoid getting the avian flu. So yeah, I expect to get sick too, just because you're around just so many people in general, and you know, fans like to hug you and they like, you know, all that stuff. They just like to be close to you, but. Yeah, I do think that it was here before we knew it was here.
Okay, since we're running low on time, I do want to hit on a few points really, really quick. Everybody out there, I want y'all to know that she's currently nominated, like if this information is up to date, you're currently nominated for Best MILF Cam Model in the XBiz Cam Awards. Is that new information or is that old?
That's old.
Yeah. This is in a list that someone gave me, just like to make sure that I have one. So what is your podcast and the name of it and stuff like that really quick?
My podcast is Siren Sexy Secrets. It's on YouTube. So it's youtube.com/SirenSexySecrets. It's myself and my husband. And we post on it weekly. Right now I have a new segment called Porn Stars Are People. And it's got interviews with tons of my friends. I just posted two different ones this week. My first one was with Vanessa Blake and the second one was with Virgo Peridot. I'll have two new ones next week. So every week I'm posting a couple of them. I am headed back out to LA on Tuesday. So I'm gonna have a couple more this following week. So lots of them will be up on there soon. So yeah. Lots of interviews.
Yeah, so everybody, make sure you go out there, you know, support that, because it sounds very interesting. I believe you all would like that, because I'm just reading my notes about it, and it's like, oh, that sounds fun. So I believe y'all out there who are listening will enjoy that. And make sure you all check out thelovesiren.com and, like, you know, it gives you intimacy coaching and stuff like that. And just so you can, you know, learn how to be close to somebody else in all different types of ways, you know?
Yeah, my intimacy coaching, like I was explaining earlier, I mean, if you want to learn to, like I said, even to learn about sex education, learn to teach your kids, learn to talk to your partner, you know, learn to up in your life, learn about intimacy yourself. Like I even have people that have never masturbated before and they'll call me and ask me, you know, how to do that. So I do, like I said, I do email and I do Skype sessions on there. And then I do, you know, more sex type of Skype sessions, but those are not part of that website. those are separate. But yeah, so my Love Siren, the lovesiren.com, that is an intimacy and relationship coaching website.
And so Meet Candy is when you do the virtual meet and greets over Zoom.
Right.
Does that still work? Okay. And so if you want a personal one-on-one with her for that, go there, you know, go out there, you know. You have the opportunity to meet this incredible, very interesting woman. Like I've been very into the conversation. I just realized how long it's been on. And I'm like, oh wow, you've been on for over an hour already. So please tell everybody where they can find you, support you, like anything out there about you, because you are a very interesting woman.
Thank you. You can find me on my Twitter at Mrs. Siren. That is my Twitter. On Instagram, it is d.siren. My official website, this is my hardcore website, is mrssiren.com or dsiren.com. My fan page is onlyfans.com/Mrs. Siren. My intimacy coaching is thelovesiren.com. And my podcast, like I said, is youtube.com/sirensexysecrets. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't know.
Siren XXX Studios.com.
Yes, that's the studio and that I own. And from there, you'll find all the websites that I own. So lots of different websites on the network.
Real quick, see, let me tell you where they can find you really quick, sir.
All right, you can find me on Instagram at CCFitnessLA, Twitter at CCFitnessLA, Facebook CCFitness, and if you want to look on my website, CCFitnessLA.com.
Really quick, you want to find me, I am at R-A-W-S-D-A-R-R on Instagram and on Twitter. If you want to find us, we are The Burbank Misfits on Instagram. We are Burbank Misfits on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you so much, Miss O. Also, BurbankMisfits.com is our website, which says everything that me and CW do in general. Websites, photography, and all the other fun fitness and whatever we do. Thank you so much, Miss Siren, for coming on. You are a joy. And like, I didn't even get a head chance to go to all my points, but I know that we only had an hour conversation. You are a very interesting woman, and I want everybody out there who's listening to go support her in every single way that you can, you know? And, you know, even giving her a follower and supporting everything that she is as a person, as a human. So yeah, you will really enjoy this person. So, but thanks for coming on, and have a fantastic day.
You too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.